This week we are doing Chagiga Daf Chav Zayin. We're finishing the Masechta. So we left off on the bottom of Chav Vav Amar Aleph at the Mishnah about five lines up from the bottom. We're finishing the Masechta. So we're talking about picking up from the previous Mishnah where we had mentioned that Amei Haaretz on the regular itself are considered Tahor, but the Chachamim had held that that Tahara only was for the regel itself, and therefore afterwards, any kelim that the Amei Haaretz had touched or purchased became tamei limafreya retroactively, and therefore needed to be brought to a mikvah to purify. So says the Mishnah, Misha Avar HaRegel, once the regel is over, ma'virin al taras azara. They had to take all the kelim in the azara that the Amei Haaretz dealt with. Now, even though on the regel they had a horah ashah, they were temporarily allowed to be tahor, after the regel they had to bring them all to the mikvah. However, over haregel yom hashishi, if the regel yontif was over on a Thursday night, then lo yom avirin, they wouldn't go that night or the next day to the mikvah because they covered Shabbos. They were too busy preparing for Shabbos, and it probably took a lot of time to bring all of the kelim to the kelim mikvah, and so they pushed it off until motzi Shabbos or Sunday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says af lo biyom chamishi, even if yontif ended Wednesday night. But Wednesday night or Thursday, they also wouldn't bring the kelim to the mikvah. Why? Sheina kohanim pinuyin, because the kohanim, who were the ones who were responsible with this task of bringing all these kelim to the kelim mikvah, they were not available on Wednesday night, Thursday. Why? Says the Gemara, Tana, sheina kohanim pinuyin, why? Milahotzi b'deshem, because on Motzi Yontif, the kohanim had a special job, and that was to gather all the ashes. So Rashi points out that during the regel itself, all the deshen on the maracha that would be in the mizbeach would be left there, and therefore there would be a lot to do in terms of sweeping and cleaning, and therefore the kohanim would not be available Wednesday night, Thursday. Thursday night, Friday would be preparing for Shabbos, and therefore they would also push it off until the Motzei Shabbos Sunday. Okay, next Mishnah. Kesed ma'avir on taras harzara. So now, practically speaking, how would they go about making sure that all the kelim were tahor or went to the mikvah? So mabilas the kelim shuv mikdash. So all the kelim they would gather and they would bring into the kelim mikvah. Ve'omrim lahem, and they would say to them, "Hizhiru shalotigu b'sholchan." So who's mi amar el mi? Who says to who here? So Rashi says, "Lekohanim amei haaretz b'regel." So according to Rashi, what's happening here is there were kohanim who served in the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, who they themselves were Amei Haaretz. And so what the Mishnah is telling us is that the Kohanim who were Chaverim, who were Makben on Tumah Tahara, would say to these Kohanim, by the way, please do not touch the Shulchan. Now, why did they single out the Shulchan? So, as we're going to see, the reason is because there's a special Pasuk with respect to the Shulchan. It's quoted by the last Rashi in the bottom of Chav Vav Amar Aleph. Pasuk says, Lechem panim lefanai tamid, that the lechem apanim, the showbread, which was placed on top of the shulchan, had to be in front of me tamid, always. So Chazal derived from there that the shulchan could not be moved. So if they allowed the Amei Haaretz, the Kohani Amei Haaretz, to touch the shulchan, there would be no availability to bring to the kelim mikvah after Yontif, because there was an iser of moving the shulchan. And therefore, they had to go with an alternative route, which was to simply advise these kohanim not to touch the shulchan so as not to impurify it. Tosfos on the top of Chav Vav Amar Beis says that these were kohanim, actually, that were not necessarily serving in the Beis HaMikdash. They were just there to bow down. As he points out, a Jew, a Yisrael, would not even be permitted to enter the area of the Shulchan, which was between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So we could only be advising Kohanim, but they're Kohanim Amei Haaretz. Interestingly, why were they not doing the Avodah? So some suggest that they didn't really want Kohanim Amei Haaretz to do the Avodah, so they gave them other jobs. They told them other things to do, but not to actually serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continues, Kol HaKelim Sheyuba Mikdash, all the vessels and utensils in the Mikdash, Yishlem Shni Ushlishim, they had backups and backups of backups. Because again, if one of them became Tameh, and they had to go Tovel it, Maybe that would take a couple hours, maybe it would take a day or two. So they needed a replacement kli to stand in while the other one was being put in the mikvah. Shemnitmu harishonim, yaviyu shniim. If one became tameh, they would just, while the other one was being toveled, they would replace it with a backup. Kol ha-kelim shem mikdash, tunim tvila. Now all of the kelim that were in the base of mikdash required tvila after the regel, chutz, mizbeach ha-zahav, mizbeach ha-nechoshes, except for the golden mizbeach and the copper mizbeach. And Rashi points out, obviously, and the shulchan, because we advised Amiras not to touch the shulchan. Why? Why is mizbeach ha-zahav, mizbeach ha-nechoshes singled out? Mibnei shehin kekarka, because they are like the ground. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, and Rashi points out, Rabbi Elazar notes that the psukim refer to these mizbechos as mizbeach adama, as a mizbeach of earth, and we know the halacha is that earth generally does not require tevila, and therefore even though technically these mizbechos were not made of earth, the fact that they're called that, they're not able to receive tumah. However, chacham omrim, mimnei shehim mitzupin. It's because they are covered in something. The Gemara is going to have to explain what the chacham are actually referring to. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana, his hiru shematigo b'shulchan u'b'menorah. We have a braisa which says that they warned the Kohanim and the Aretz not only not to touch the Shulchan, but also, please don't touch the menorah. So, v'tana didan, my time will time menorah. So, our Mishnah says that these Kohanim and the Aretz were only warned about not touching the Shulchan. Why didn't our Mishnah say that these Kohanim and the Aretz were warned not to touch the menorah? So, the Gemara answers very simply. Shulchan ksiv beitamid. Menorah lo ksiv beitamid, as we quoted earlier, lechem panim lefanai tamid. Only by the shulchan is there a requirement that the shulchan cannot be moved, which means it would be a fatal flaw if someone touched it and made it tamay, because we can't go bring it to the kelim mikvah. Whereas by the menorah, there's no requirement of tamid, which is why they weren't warning people not to touch it, because either way, you can bring it to the mikvah after yontif v'idach. So then what's the explanation of this braisa? Why, according to some, did they warn the Ami Aretz not to touch the menorah? The Gemara answers, Ki v'dechsev v'es ha-menorah nochach ha-shulchan, because the pasuk says that the menorah should be placed opposite the shulchan, k'man dechsev ba-tamid dami. It's as if it said about it that it should always be there. Meaning, nochach ha-shulchan could mean that if the shulchan's there, the menorah's gotta be there. And so since the shulchan can never leave its spot, and the menorah is being placed opposite it and should have the same halachos, so according to that opinion, the assumption is that the menorah also could never leave its spot. Okay, so then what does our Mishnah do with that? Our Mishnah that does not say you have to warn the Amei Aretz about the menorah, how do they understand the pasuk of that the menorah is nocha shulchan? So the Gemara answers, Hahu l'kvola makomuda asa. It's only to tell you where the menorah goes. When you're the architect, when you're the builder, and you want to know where in the Beis HaMikdash does the menorah go, the answer is, nochach ha-shulchan, across from the shulchan, from the table. But it doesn't mean that the menorah has the same halachos as the shulchan. It doesn't mean the menorah has to stay in its place like the shulchan does. Of course not. And that's why our Mishnah doesn't say that the Kohani Am HaAretz are warned about the menorah. Says the Gemara, v'tepikle dekli'etz ha'osu l'nachasu. So, I don't understand, says the Gemara. You're telling me that we have to warn these Kohani Amei Aretz not to touch the Shulchan. Because what? If they touch the Shulchan, they're going to make it Tameh. Really? Wasn't the Shulchan made out of wood? And wasn't it made to stay in its place? We have a rule. A kli'etz ha'osu l'nachasu. We have a wooden utensil that's meant to stay in one place. It's not able to become tameh. So why do they need to warn the Amei Aretz not to touch the shulchan? If anyway, the shulchan's not makabel tumah, because it's a kli'etz that's meant to stay in one place. My taima, where do you see that a kli'etz ha'asu l'nachas is not royal kabel tumah? Because dum yedisak ba'inan, in order for a utensil to become tameh, it has to be similar to a sack. As Rashi points out, the pasuk says, "Kol shiipa alav bahem b'mosam yitma mikol kli'etz o begedo or o sack." So it links kli'etz to sack. Now, why is sock unique? Says the Gemara, Masak metaltel mali v'reikam. Just like a sock is handled, whether it's empty or full, afko metaltel mali v'reikam. So too, the only item or utensil that is roi l'kabel tuma is something that is meant to be handled both full and empty. And the assumption is that the shulchan was not meant to be handled empty and full. As Rashi points out, that this kli eitz could hold 40 saw of water. However, if one actually did that and tried to lift it, it would probably break. And therefore, it wasn't meant to be held containing anything else. So since it's not similar to sock, it's not Rav L'Kabel Tuma. If it's not Rav L'Kabel Tuma, then why are we bothering to warn Ami Aris not to touch it? The Gemara says, no. Hainami metalte mali v'reikam. Really, the shulchan is handled empty and full. What do you mean it's handled full? Not that it has something that's contained within it, but that something's placed on top of it. Says the Gemara, Hainami metalte mali v'reikam. He, who? Kid Reish Lakish. Dumb Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, my dichsib. What does the pasuk mean when it says, Al HaShulchan HaTahor, you place the lechem upon him on the Shulchan HaTahor? Why is it calling it a Shulchan HaTahor? Isn't the status quo that something's Tahor? It must be Michal Shehu Tameh. It must be that it can become Tameh, so the Torah needs to tell us it's Tahor. Well, V'yamai, why would the Shulchan be Royal Kabbal Tumah? Ay, Kli Etasul Nachasu, Beinu Makabbal Tumah. Didn't we just say that any wooden utensil that's meant to stay put is not Makabal Tuma? Ela Melamed, rather, the pasuk of the fact that it says Shulchan Atar must be teaching me that the Shulchan, it can be used Malei V'Rikam, like Sak. Now, how is it used Malei? Shemagbiyin Oso, Umarin Bo Le'ole Regalim Lechem Apanim. Something is always placed on top of the Shulchan and lifted. When you lift the Shulchan with the bread on it and you show it to the Ole Regalim, to those who are come up Aliyah L'Ragel, Shuv Lechem Apanim Be'omrim Lehem, and they say to the Olei Regalim, Ru'uchi Basnal Fnei Amakom, look how much Hashem loves us, Siluko Kisiduro. The way it's taken off is the way it's put in. Rashi says that it lasts the entire week just as hot. Dam Rabbi Yeshua, as Rabbi Yeshua says, Ben Levi, Nis Gadol Nasav Lechem Apanim, a very big miracle, Kisiduro Kach Siluko. The way it was put in is the way it's taken out, hot the entire week. Shenemar lasum lechem chom biyom hilakcho. Okay, there's a lot to unpack here with respect to this showing the Olei Regalim. So let's start with the fact that what exactly was the miracle with the lechem upon him? So Rashi says that it means that the bread stayed hot. Tosos says it means the bread stayed soft, and that which the pasuk says chom, it doesn't mean chom, it means that it was soft, it was fresh. And Tosfos says you can't say that it maintained its heat because we know when you take something out of the oven, naturally it gets cold. That's an interesting comment because some of the mafarshim point out the chidah and the Pesach Yinayim points out, he says the mechilas kvodo of Tosfos. The entire Lechem Apanim ordeal was Bederach Nes, was a miracle. So if it can maintain its heat from one week to the next, it can certainly retain its heat from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. So the whole thing's a miracle. So he doesn't really understand why Tosfos is coming to say that. Also, what exactly were they showing to the Olei Regalim? So the Maariv Chiyutz references a tshuva of the Radvaz. The Radvaz was asked, well, first of all, how were they able to show the Lechem Apanim to Klal Yisrael? Because wasn't the Shulchan between the Ulam and the Mizbeach a place where non-Kohanim could not enter? So let's say the miracle was that it was hot. If you're, I don't know, 100 feet away, 200 feet away, can you see if something's hot or not unless it's actually smoking? So he actually quotes, the Ravaz quotes the Ritva and Yuma, who says that yes, that was the pshat, that steam or smoke would actually be rising from the bread that could be seen by Yisraelim from a far distance. So the Pirkei Kahuna says, according to Tosfos, how did they show it was soft? to people in Israel that were far away, says they would push down, the Kohen would push down on the bread with their finger. And you know, something soft, there'd be some flexibility. It would go in. And you could see that even from far. And he says, Perech Kuna says, even if some Israelim could not see it, there were still Kohanim up close that could see it. And therefore, that made the ones that were far away believe it. As no one would lie about something that they could easily be disproven about. So I compare this to like a magician at a show. That even if you're in the back row of the magic show, the fact that there's a front row that could see very close, so it makes it more believable because he wouldn't do something that was obviously incorrect if the first row could call him out on something that he wasn't doing properly. Tosos also says that they would warn the Ami Aretz not to touch the Shulchan, that they were Kohanim Ami Aretz. So, like we pointed out earlier, that Rav Yashiv makes the point we mentioned earlier, that you have to assume that the Kohanim Ami Aretz were not actually doing the Avoda themselves. Okay, a little bit about the Lachem Aponim and the miracle that was involved therein. So the Gemara says, V'tepukle mishum tzipoy. So according to Rashi, the question is that we just said, the Gemara had suggested, oh, why do you have to warn the Kohanim on the Aretz not touch the Shulchan? Isn't it a wooden utensil that's meant to stay put? So the Gemara is asking a question on that question and saying that, how could that even be entertained as a question to assume that because it's a wooden utensil, it wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah, but the Shulchan was tzipoy. It was covered with metal. And because it's covered with metal, shouldn't that be a reason that it should be Mekabel Tumah? Dehatznan. We have a Mishnah in Kalim which says the following. HaShulchan, you have a table, you have dulfaki, and you have a chair that's covered in leather. Shenifchasu o shechifan b'shish, that's adorned or covered with a type of material that's made from stones or earth. V'shir behem makom anachas kosos. So the actual utensil, let's say, is royal Kabbal Tumah. But you're covering it with something that's not Mekabel Tumah. So the mission over there says, as long as you leave enough space uncovered, meaning to reveal the metal, to put down a cup, Tumah, it's still Tumah. Rebuna omer, makom anachas chatichos. Enough space to put down slices of bread or meat. So Rashi points out, what do you see from this? That if you can cover it completely with the earth, then the earth would be levatel the metal, and you would say it's not the Kabbal Tumah. So that's lakula. That's a kula to say something's not the Kabbal Tumah. So it says Rashi, the Gemara is assuming the flip side should obviously be true. That anytime you have a covering, it should be levatel what's under it. And therefore, just because the Shulchan is made out of wood, but the covering is made out of metal, and therefore, it should be Mekabel Tumah. So how could the Gemara entertain the fact that the Shulchan is wood, and therefore it shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah? It has a tzipoy. So the Gemara answers, V'chitema shayni e'atze shitim dechashivi v'lo badli. Maybe you'll tell me, yeah, but the Shulchan wasn't made out of normal wood. It was made out of atze shitim. Maybe atze shitim wood is very chashiv, very special wood, and therefore, even its covering would not be able to nullify it. Maybe that's what the Gemara was assuming. Well, ha nicha l'Reish Lakish, that makes sense according to Reish Lakish, who says, da amar lo shanu ela b'kli achsalgim habad nidas hayam. When do we say that the tzipoy is mevatel, what's inside? That's only with when you have something inside that's not very chashuv. Aval b'kli misamim, if you have a kli that's very chush of wood, lo bali, that would not be batel. Then shapir, that answer makes sense, that because the asei shitim and the shulchan are so chush of, the tzipoy would not nullify it. According to Reish Lakish, we find such a concept. However, el Rabbi Yochanan, to amar afil b'kli masmim, nami bali, even when you have very chush of wood, it's still batel. Michael Mamar, how do we explain why the Gemara thought that the Shulchan was a Kli Eitz, and therefore not Mekabel Tumah? It has a Tzipoy. And the Tzipoy can be Mevatel, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a very chush of wood, even Atzei Shitim. Says the Gemara, V'chi Tema, Kam V'Tzipoy Omed, Maybe you'll tell me over there the reason why the tzipoy is mevatel what's inside is because the tzipoy, the covering, is fastened very tightly to the item, and that's why it's mevatel what's underneath. But maybe by the shulchan, maybe its tzipoy, its metal, is not really fastened very tightly to the wood, and therefore it wouldn't be mevatel it. But habayim minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, that was actually a question that Reish Lakish answered Rabbi Yochanan. Betzipoy omed or betzipoy she'in omed. When we say that the outer covering is mevatel what's inside, is that where the covering is tightly fastened or not? Bechufa es levazviv or b'she'inu chufa es levazviv. Is that where the covering is covering even the edges or not? V'amar lei, and Rabbi Yochanan responded, lo shna betzipoy omed, lo shna betzipoy she'in omed, lo shna bechufa es levazviv, lo shna b'she'inu chufa es levazviv. You see that either way, it's mevatel what's inside. And therefore, even if the covering, the tzipoy of the shulchan, was not fastened tightly, it would still be mevatel the wood that's inside. So we're left with a question of how could the Gemara, according to Rashi, entertain that the fact that maybe the shulchan should not be mekabel tumah because it's a kli etz asur l'nachas, but it has a metal covering, which is mevatel the wood, and we should go by the fact that it's metal, and therefore say that it is mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, "Ela shayni shulchan derachmana creates." It must be that you're right. Really, technically, the tzipoy of the shulchan should be mevatel the kli etz within. However, the Torah itself in the pasuk calls the shulchan a kli etz. Dichsiv, we have a pasuk in Yecheskel which says, "Hamizbeach etz shalosh amos gavoa." V'arko shtayim amos, u'miktzos lo v'arko v'kirosav etz, but the very lie, zeh ha-shulchan, asher el-fnei Hashem. So even though it has a tzipoy, and technically the tzipoy should be mevatel, the Torah calls the shulchan, a kli etz. And therefore, halachically, we have to assume it's a kli etz, and that's why they had to suggest the possibility that the shulchan was a kli etz hasol nachas, which we then explained that it really is dumi desak, it could be handled mali v'reikam, and that's why it's still makabel toma. Okay, very good. On to the last damar of the Masechta. Once we mention this pasuk in Yecheskel, one will note a discrepancy in the pasuk, because in the beginning of the pasuk, it refers to a mizbeach, at the end of the pasuk, it refers to a shulchan. So the Gemara notes that. The Gemara says, Pasach b'mizbeach b'siyim b'shulchan. The pasach begins by referring to the shulchan as mizbeach, and it calls it a shulchan at the end. So what's pshat? So Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlakish Damar Tarvayu bizman shebeis hamidosh kayom. When the beis hamidosh was around, mizbeach mechaper al adam. The mizbeach atoned for a person's sins. He brought karbanos and he got kapara. Achshav, but nowadays we don't have beis hamidosh, we don't have karbanos. How are we supposed to get atonement? So I would have thought, well, don't we have that Gemara in Brachos, which says that we Avraham Avinu asked that question, and the answer was we recite karbanos. But here, it's kapara for sins, not just simply how we're going to bring karbanos again. So the Gemara answers, shulchan shel adam mechaper alav. Now that we don't have karbanos, our table, Rashi says, b'achnasas orchim. We invite guests, and by doing that, that's mechaper for our averos. Okay. The Mishnah had said, every kli in the Beis HaMikdash had a backup and a backup of a backup. But after that, the Mishnah, we said, there are two exceptions to the rule that every kli requires tevilah. Well, one of them was the Shulchan, which we know because it couldn't be moved. But the other two were the Mizbeach HaZohav and Mizbeach HaChoshes. And Rashi already alluded to the fact it was because the Torah calls them kli adama. And therefore, they're like earthenware vessels, which are not mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, Mizbeach anechoshech, tichsei mizbeach adama taseli. Make for me a mizbeach adama. And Rashi points out, it's referring to a mizbeach that they sacrificed olus and shlamim on, which was the mizbeach anechoshech. Mizbeach hazahav, tichsei, ha-menorah v'yamizbechos. The menorah and the multiple mizbeachs. So iskish mizbechos zelazeh. So it groups the Mizbeach HaZahav along with the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. And because it calls the Mizbech Nechoshes, a Mizbech Adama, and then groups together Mizbech HaZahav along with the Mizbech Nechoshes, so we learn that also Mizbech HaZahav has the din of a Kli Adama, and therefore that's why both of them are not Makabal Tuma, and that's why they didn't need to be Tovel, those Kelim, because they're not Makabal Tuma. The Mishnah had said that because they're like Karka, because they're called Mizbech Adama. But then the Mishnah said, the very last line of the Mishnah was, the Chachamim say, Mimnei Shein Mitzupin, because the Mizbech HaNechoshes and Mizbech HaZahav are covered. So Gemara says, that line seems to not make sense. Adarabba, Kiyuvim the Mitzupin Ninhu, Mitamu, I mean, we're trying to explain why these two Kelim are not Makabal Tuma. If you're telling me because they're covered in metal, that would be a reason to say the opposite, that they are Makabal Tuma. Gemara says, Ema V'Chachamim Mitamin, so one answer is to say, you have to add the word metamin. I mean, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, who says that these Mizbech HaNechosh, Mizbech HaZav are considered like karka and therefore are tahor, Rabbanan are coming along and saying, no, they're actually tame because they have a tzipoy. That's one answer. However, Yibay Seima, Rabbanan Rabbi Elazar Kamri, Rabbanan are saying according to Rabbi Elazar, meaning, my daitech. The fact that you, Rabbi Elazar, hold, they're not tameh because it says adama, the implication is that if it wouldn't have said adama, you would have said it's tameh. Why? Mishum de mitzupin. It must be because you hold that without the phrase adama, the tzipoy is metal and that would make it tameh. But no, mivatel batel tzipon gabayhu. Mipnei tzipuyin is a reason to say Tor, because the tzipoy is mevatel to the kli itself, the mizbeach, and therefore that Rabbanan is responding to us and saying, you should not say that the havamina, without the word adama, is that it's tamei, because the tzipoy would be batel to the mizbeach itself. Okay, and then the Masechta is going to end off with some agarata. So I'm Revar, Rav Elazar, Talmud Chacham, in Or Shel Gehenim, Shel Etz Bahen. A Talmud Chacham is not affected by the fire of Gehenim. Kamachomer misalamandra. We learn this out from a certain creature. Masalamandra shetoles ishi. It's a product of fire. Hasach midama inor shuletesbo. And if one rubs the blood of this animal on his body, it's a repellent for fire. Tamuchacham shkol gufanish. Tamuchacham's entire body is fire. Dichsev halo kud debrik ish num Hashem. The fire of Hashem built is inside of him. He should be able to repel any type of fire. So interesting, what exactly is this salamandra? So Rashi says it's the product of fire. Its oil protects a person's flesh from being burned. Over there in Sanhedrin, Rashi also in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel says, where Chizkiyahu HaMelech's father wanted to put him through the Molech, a certain Avodah Zarah involving fire. His mother sprayed some salamandra on him so he wouldn't get burned. It's, according to Rashi, it's created when a fire burns continuously in one place for 7 years. However, B'Kivi Eger in the Gilgin HaShas notes that Rashi in Chulin, and Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, says salamandra is created through the use of sorcery from a fire made with myrtle branches. So is that a stira in Rashi's? Sam Sofer says, sorcerers cannot create new creatures. Rather, it's a creature that loves heat and finds comfort in the fiery depths of the earth. Sorcerers can bring the creature out from its hidden location using sorcery. In order to bring it out, the sorcerers need to create a habitat for it, which is accomplished by burning a fire in the same place for 7 years. The Rugachover, in the Shalosh Jewish Tzatzmas Paneach, says that anything brought into being in an extraordinary manner is called sorcery. So although it is a natural creature, since it comes about through an unusual manner, it's like it was created through sorcery. Those are the two ways to resolve the seeming contradiction in the Rashi here and the Rashi in Chulin. But Tosos says it's a mouse, as the Targum Yonasan on the Pasuk, which says, Hachalad viha Akbar, says, Karkushta v'salamandra. So Akbar, which we know is a mouse, the Targum Yonasan translates as salamandra. The Maritzchias points out that it has to be a Tosofer, because in Tosos, because Targum Yonasan did not write a parish on the Torah. It must be Targum Yerushalmi. And in fact, if you look in Targum Yerushalmi, it has the gears of salamandra. Fine. The Gemara continues. Amri Shlakish, in Or Shel Gehenim Sholetes Peposhi Yisrael. The fire of Gehenim will not affect the sinners of Israel. Tosos points out, maybe it's not the most extreme sinners, but maybe partial sinners. Kavachomer Mizbech HaZahav. We derive this from the golden mizbeach. Ma mizbeach ha-zahav, shein alav ela ka'ovei dinar zahav. Kama shonim. The mizbeach ha-zahav had a very thin layer of gold, and fires were burning on it for many years. Nevertheless, ein or shaletes bo. The fire did not affect it. Did not affect what? So Rashi says the fire did not affect the gold. Meaning normally gold melts when it's under fire. And yet this thin layer of gold was able to survive for many years. Toso says it means the wood. The fact that the wood didn't burn, even though it was only protected by a very thin layer, that was a miracle also. But either way, anytime you have a very thin layer of something, and yet it was able to protect either the gold or the wood, Poshi Yisrael, Shemalin Mitzvos Karimon, that are full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk and Shir HaShirim says, Kepel HaRimon Rakaseich, Altaki Rakaseich El Rekonich Shebach. That the Rekonich, those who are empty, are like a Rimon, so they are filled with mitzvos. So they're not thin, they're thick. Thick with mitzvos. Allah has kama kama, they should be protected from the fire. So what exactly does it mean that the Poshi Yisrael are filled with mitzvos like a rima, like a pomegranate? So the Netziv, in the Merome Sada, says the mitzvos here doesn't mean all mitzvos, because clearly they're sinners, they don't do all mitzvos. It means tzedakah and gemilas chasadim. As Gemara of Basra on Dav Tes says, the word mitzvos could refer to tzedakah and gemil chasadim. And there are other mitzvos that come to give us enjoyment. Even Poshi Yisrael do those and get schar. We know mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. You know you're doing the mitzvah, but you have an ulterior motive, but you still get the mitzvah. But this actually comes up with halacha l'maisa, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, says there are those in Rosh Hashanah who eat a pomegranate and say the hiratzon of nir bezichuyos karimon, we should increase our merits like a rimon. So the Prichadash commentary on the Shulchan Aruch asks, I don't understand. In Brachos and Daf and Zion, we say that the pasuk of Kepel Harimon Rakaseich, that even the Reikonich, the empty Jews, are filled with mitzvahs like a rimon, like our Gemara here. So why would we daven hiratzon to have schuyos like a rimon? If our Gemara is saying, what does the chuz of a rimon mean? The reikonim, those empty ones, the Poshi Yisrael, have the chuz like a rimon. Why would we daven for that? So many answers have been given to this question. The Brichadosh himself answers that this refers to an entire lifetime. Meaning, the reikonim, even though they don't do a lot of mitzvos, over an entire lifetime, they accumulate as many mitzvos as a rimon. Whereas our Yihiratzon on Rosh Hashanah, we're davening that each and every year we should amass the amount of zchuyos like a rimon. The Pirkei Kehuna gives a different answer. He says that when we say empty ones are filled with mitzvos, that means after they die. When we daven for it before they have, when we daven for it, it's before we've accumulated it. Alternatively, he says, reikonim doesn't mean all reikonim, as we know people who have no mitzvos. It means some mitzvos. So we daven, we should be from those who have some mitzvos. Pirkei Kehuna says, well, if they're full of mitzvos, why are they called reikonim? So he means they're reikonim from Torah. They don't learn Torah. You could have many people who they do a lot of mitzvos, they just don't learn. So they're massive learning of Talmid Chachamim through their money, through Tircha, and that explains why they're compared to a pomegranate. So you have certain people who they just, for whatever reason, they don't know how to learn, they just not interested in learning, but they give money to tzedakah, they support yeshivos, they support shuls, so they're considered like machzikei Torah, and they're compared to a pomegranate, because by the pomegranate, the peel protects the seeds, but the peel has no taste. So the reikonim are like the peel. They have no taste themselves, they don't learn, but through their money, their support, they protect the seeds inside. Talmid Chachamim. Very interesting. Okay. Hadronulach Chomer Bekodesh, Uslikulach Meseches Chagiga. Baruch Hashem, we've been able to hopefully amass many, many mitzvos like a rimon in learning this Mesechta, and we've now completed Meseches Chagiga.